Okay, so I think we got to tell them. We got to tell people what's up.
Yeah.
And they got to know.
Yeah, so. Know what's up. People in China are dying.
And it's your fault.
It's your fault.
Your fault. You were doing a little too movie trailer. People, yeah. I may have been doing a little
people
too
Dracula. People in China are dying.
And it's your fault.
Yeah. 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 Hot 107.
No. Little tonally. Totally.
To episode 20 of I'm Trying to Think. And that is, of course, Duran Duran's Union of the Snake. Dave, do you prefer Duran Duran or Duran Duran, Duran Duran, Duran?
I'm more of a Duran Duran guy, I'll admit. Original classic, easier to say. There's a lot going for him.
Yeah, I'm going to say that you could go with Duran Duran, Duran Duran, Duran. But here's the thing. You can't go with Duran Duran, Duran. That's not enough.
Yeah, because I'm not familiar with Duran 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 Duran.
I've heard Duran Duran Duran.
But I've never heard Duran 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 Duran. What do they play?
Here's the thing. Duran 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 is too many.
Yeah, that's just unwieldy.
You either go Duran Duran or Duran 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 Duran.
Mm-hmm.
So this is episode 20. I'm Trying to Think is a podcast sponsored by the Foundation Institute. You can find them online at foundation-institute.org. You can follow I'm Trying to Think on Twitter at twitter.com/I'm Trying to Think. You can friend us on Facebook. Just look for us or do something. I don't know. Do we have a link for that on the website yet?
No.
I didn't put it there. You didn't put it there. No.
Yeah, so no.
We don't have any other staff members who could put it there. No.
Yes, that ain't there. Yeah. At some point, I just mean to keep sitting down with the day and just kind of scrub up that website. But, you know, other things keep happening, like TV. I don't know. Actually, not so much TV anymore.
Man, games of the
Comcast
video.
Is jerking me around, man.
I heard, yeah. I heard there was an incident.
I watch two television shows. It's live. It's funny, because you'd think Comcast business here would be pulling me towards live television.
Yeah.
But, you know, I watch two television.
Not live television, but actually watching television on the television, is what you're saying. Yeah.
Yeah.
When it's on.
I watch two television shows on two cable networks.
Mm-hmm.
Both gone in their reorganization, something.
Yeah, now they're more expensive to watch Cartoon Network and AMC, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
I don't know what to tell you, man. I got the digital cable. I got the full package.
Mm-hmm.
I need it all. I need three Nickelodeons.
Yeah, one's not enough.
Well, one's not enough because they don't show SpongeBob all day. So you have to switch to another channel that's showing SpongeBob when the first channel stops showing SpongeBob.
Yeah, also, you may have a risk where there might be, like, I'm not going to say an hour, that seems crazy, but 30 minutes in the day that are showing neither SpongeBob nor Law & Order.
Yeah, that would be, I mean, it's disastrous when that kind of stuff happens. I don't even want to think about it right now. We don't do this at the top of the show enough. I wanted to do it again. Hey. This is my tappy finger. Hey.
Yeah.
Email us at contact@imtryingtothink.com.
Oh, yeah. If you've got questions, concerns.
If you've got answers.
Agitations.
Cogitations.
Resuscitations.
That'll work. We'll take those.
Perambulations, you probably can't email.
Combobulations, I'll take them. But yes, email us, contact@imtryingtothink.com. We don't get enough email. What is with you people? I mean, I know the majority of you don't exist, but surely there are a couple of you who listen to this show.
Yeah, and you could drop a line. Sure, why not?
Yeah.
Communication, it's what makes us human.
Ish, human-ish.
Okay, yeah, it makes us human-ish.
I wouldn't go so far.
I don't know, communication and tool using.
All right, Dave.
And stuff. Yeah.
Let's talk about progressivism and video games.
Okay, sure.
All right. I got the Dragon Age.
You did.
It's a big party in a video game style. I'm really enjoying it, but the company that produced it, BioWare, I like everything they've done. Pretty much. I can't think of anything they've done that I'm
pretty fond of their stuff.
Picked this up. Excited to play it. Playing through it. Pretty good. All right. Here's the thing. The love interest thing
has become sort of, the past decade, that's become kind of a bigger and bigger part of their video games.
Yeah, and it's become, in my opinion,
to a bit of a detriment.
But it's becoming more and more liberal in its stance. For instance, Mass Effect, which was released, what, 2-3 years ago?
Two, I think. Something like that.
All right. Mass Effect, you could, if you were male or female character, you could get it on with an alien who appeared to be female.
Yeah.
But here's the thing.
Right.
She wasn't.
She's an alien.
She was from an alien race that didn't have two sexes.
Basically, she's from an alien plot justification to show lesbianism without it being lesbianism.
Right, because lesbians 2 years ago couldn't do it.
Political hot pocket.
No.
Wait, that's not a phrase, is it?
Hot pocket.
Yeah. Political hot potato. Hot potato.
I think hot pocket is a good term for any political upheaval regarding lesbianism or... Gaymanism?
Yeah. No, I think that's when you... Yeah, gaymanism is just when sort of pale people dressed in black want to have sex with each other.
That's gaymanism.
Oh, my bad.
Is it homosexuality then?
Yeah, homosexuality. Right.
But Hot Pocket's a good term for that. I mean, it sounds like something. It makes me laugh is really the reason.
Yeah, to go it's fine because Hot Pockets are fine.
Okay, that's where that goes down. Dragon Age, new game. According to the internet, I haven't played through the whole game with 50 characters yet, but according to the internet, there's a female character that you can totally get with either male or female main character, okay?
Right.
So, again, lesbianism, not really a big deal. Let's face it. You know, society is more accepting of lesbians than of gay men.
Yeah, because in our sort of, you know, phallocentric, man-ruled society,
there's
sort of the double standard of we're against homosexuals because men having sex with men is gross, and we're against homosexual women having sex with women, but it makes us feel funny in our pants. That's the basic sort of bullshit double standard that society has developed.
Yeah, and it works, I guess.
I'm not sure how you're defining works here, but but it is. It is.
It is. It is what it is. But in Dragon Age, according to the internet again, as a male or female character, there is a male character that you can get with. So that's some homosexuality, some gaymanism, if you will.
I'm still not on board.
But here's the question.
I mean, with the word gaymanism.
Here's the question. Does it count? He's an elf. You know? They are known for being poncy, long-haired, slight.
You know, it's better than nothing.
Is he too unmanly? For it to be right. Should there have been a bear character? You know, a big, hairy man that you could have...
They're going in steps, I think, you know.
Here's the other thing.
I mean, it's going towards fantasy. It's a... Clearly, the end game here is dwarves knocking boots with dwarves.
Let's be honest.
That, yeah, dwarves, that's the end game.
Dwarf action is pretty much what we're all waiting for anyways. Here's a question, though. If the characters that you can hook up with will hook up with either men or women, is that insulting to what we know about homosexuality in our population?
I think in this case, what it mostly comes down to is the bisexual thing is easier to program. You close less options off to players. Because video games, Chuck, it's all about player choice. It's not fair to say that as a player, you can't live out your sort of retarded 14-year-old sexual fantasy with whichever characters you want. You know? That's unfair.
All right, well, I was just throwing it out there. I was interested in your opinion, so...
And I delivered it.
That's
I delivered
over now. I am no longer interested.
Thanks. Thanks a lot.
It's just how I roll. So what are we talking about now? I mean, that's over. We settled that.
I'm not even sure what issue you even raised there, let alone settled. But, you know, I'd feel oddly satisfied.
We settled
with
it so hard, man.
That it's gone. That it's just gone. Exactly. In that case, I think we should rest on our laurels for a bit and take a little break.
All right. Resting on our laurels. Engaged. So we will be right back with some more I'm Trying to Think. Episode 20 of I'm Trying to Think.
Welcome back, Ethan.
Welcome back, yeah. Well, yeah. Welcome back.
I'm saying that felt a little more introductory than it needed to be.
To the same old place that you laughed about. Welcome back. All right. You had something you wanted to say.
I did. So.
I had something I want to say.
Okay.
That's it. Let's congratulate ourselves. 20 episodes, Dave. I mean, this one's not in the can yet, but
I don't know. Episodes. I think you're going too soon. I think we could. Things, we still got like a good, I don't know, 40, 50 minutes for things to go terribly wrong, and then we don't make it to 20. I think you're. Woo. One, this is just ferocious back padding. I mean, that's okay. Whoa. It's ferocious self back padding.
Well, it fills time.
Which we do, but so that's okay. But two, I think you're doing it too soon. Doing that like 10 minutes into the show. 11, you know, I don't know, however many minutes this is, once it's edited, once it goes through that magic, however many minutes this is, with a lot of time to go, you know.
Right.
This place could cave in. Possibly. We could have a nasty falling out. Uh-oh. Like, there's a lot that could be going down.
All right, then.
That causes us not to make it to 20. So I'm just saying, chickens, don't count them before they hatch.
I count at least 5 chickens. Actually, I count 20 chickens, brother. 20 chickens! All right, so you were saying.
Okay, so chicken optimism aside, I think, you know, earlier in the first segment, I was, you know, bitching about, you know, wow, I'm, you know, have no real problems, so I'm mad that my cable channels are going away. Wow. But one of the things related to that is, because I basically mentioned that, you know, I watch only 2 shows on live television, and, you know, those channels were both going away. You mentioned they were Cartoon Network and AMC, and if you, like myself, are, you know, a watcher of television, you know, you could probably have a pretty good idea of the shows I watch, and that would be, on Cartoon Network, I watch The Venture Brothers Live, and on AMC, I watch Mad Men. Mm. And one of the things about Mad Men, and this is actually something I've seen some people criticize the show about, and I don't think it's usually too bad about this, but it is definitely one of the flaws. You know, it is a fine show, but, you know, even good television shows, you know, have their flaws. You know, I mean, Lost has, you know, the Jack, Kate, and, you know, 5 other people love triangle that, you know, just sucks all the oxygen
actually,
out
to
of
me,
the show.
Lost just has Kate. I know I'm, like, on a lonely island there.
No, you know, I hate her about as much as you, if not more.
Yeah, I just don't, but I don't like the character.
Don't care for it.
Don't really care for the actress that much, and I don't find her that attractive. She has really tiny eyes. Little squinty eyes.
But anyhow, so one thing that a lot of people accuse Mad Men of doing, and I don't think it's that bad, but it will definitely do this, is sometimes when it's sort of presenting, like, you know, period, like, some of the sexism or racism or, you know, people smoking or, you know, just something like that, the show will sometimes kind of elbow you in the side a little and be like, huh, that's pretty inappropriate. You know what I mean? It just kind of has that feel
right to
how it's happening. But what that made me kind of wonder...
You know, Dave, how is that possible? We get all our morals from, you know, the Bible and other holy books.
Which are immutable and unchangeable and have no cultural context.
Without
God... So clearly
God,
morality should have been the same.
Yeah, without God, you can't possibly have a code of ethics or morals. All right, then. Well, moving on.
Okay, but anyhow. So, what that made me wonder is, Yeah, because clearly they're trying to depict these things, you know, these sort of forms of sexism and racism, and humorously enough to have this lumped in with those much, much worse problems, also people smoking.
That's just, I mean, that's unacceptable, Dave. They should have retconned that.
But kind of to have those things shown as these things that, you know, people just do as sort of matters of course at the time. Mm-hmm. And then we look back on them, you know, these 50 years later, and it's so obvious that they're just, you know, appalling, and we're, like, you know, kind of shocked and, like, that's insane. So what I was wondering is basically... Well,
we, those of us in this room, I mean, you know, I don't know how the average citizen reacts.
Well, I mean, when I say we also, I mean, think specifically about who's watching Mad Men. You know what I mean?
I have no idea. I'm not. That's what I know.
Basically, the people who are watching Mad Men are, like, kind of people who are interested in, like, 60s furniture and fonts. Like, people who like fonts watch Mad Men.
People who like fonts. All right. Well, that's,
But, and even on a society-wide level, I'm going to say, you know, we certainly haven't, you know, eliminated, you know, sexism and racism in society. You know, I mean, God knows those are still present.
Yeah.
But they are gauche. You know what I mean?
Trey gauche.
There's a society thing where even, like, I would say we are at a point, not as much with sexism, unfortunately, but at least certainly with racism, where even racists go into these sort of bizarre contortions of thought and language to say that they're not racists while they're being racist, because they know it's wrong to be racist.
Even racists don't want to be racist.
Exactly.
Right.
So what I'm wondering is, what are the things that we do now in, you know, in society as just a matter of course, without even thinking about them, that 50 years from now are going to be the things that, you know, I'd like to say that we look at with disgust, but, you know, we'll probably be old and set in our ways by then, and we'll think it was fine. But things that, you know, our children or our children's children will look at us as a disgusting, loathsome generation for doing.
Yeah, well, it's a question of where does where is morality going? I have no idea.
I know, it's kind of an interesting thought, because especially some of it is, because, you know, you could say, you know, shabby treatment of homosexuals, but I almost think that's too obvious. Like, that conversation's kind of already started.
All right, well, let's...
You know what I mean?
What do you want to call it? Man up, I guess, but
sure.
That's politically incorrect.
I don't know, let's...
Human up.
Step up. We can step up. Step up to the plate.
All right.
That's baseball-y incorrect. I don't know.
I am I'm a person of a certain political bend. I would say the easiest way to describe it is non-conservative.
Yeah, that's a good start.
Conservatism doesn't really make a lot of sense to me because, you know, it just progress is kind of inevitable. Like, how do you live as a conservative? Even in, let's talk about political topic of the week here. Maine, rescinds gay marriage by popular vote, which, you know,
is kind
why
of
would you, why,
wrong.
Yeah.
Rights being
why would
voted
you
for
ever,
seems a
yeah,
little
why would you ever let
odd.
Popular vote decide human rights? It's just not, or civil rights even, any sorts of rights should never be decided by popular vote.
Yeah, but going back to your main point.
You know, and if I could digress
okay,
one
no,
moment.
Okay, digressing
like
from
I
your
do,
main point. Digressing from your main point.
Jesse Ventura.
Main point. Made up
Maine,
pun.
Yeah. Jesse the Body Ventura, former pro wrestler, also apparently a politician.
Yeah, former governor of Minnesota.
Yeah, apparently said this week on the CNN. That, this is going to be paraphrasing, but basically, you can't let people vote on rights. You have to have, you know, policymakers decide these things. And if you let people vote, they would probably legalize slavery if you worded it right.
Yeah.
I'm kind of forced to agree.
Yeah, that's basically true.
Yeah. But, so, you see this vote, it's like, it was like 52 or 54%.
No, I think it was close. It was 52 or 51, I thought. It was real close.
Right. Now, 10 close. Years ago, what do you think that would have been?
Yeah, a lot less. I mean, progress is pretty inevitable.
It is. So where does it go? I mean, well, what things don't have rights now, and what rights would we consider sort of bleeding edge?
Yeah, and also here's, I think...
Now, here's the thing.
Well, where are you going?
I don't know, but I want to talk about something weird. And that is conflicts that are arising in Europe, where, like, leftism folds in on itself, like, eats its own tail. Like, in France, where they want, you know... I mean, freedom of religion is something they kind of want, because that's a liberal value.
And
not... But the Europeans aren't too keen on the way Muslims... Or the way they think Muslims treat women.
Yeah. And also foreigners. Right. Europeans yeah. have...
That's a whole, yeah, that's a whole other thing, but...
So it's just kind of a mix of
They have a new set of problems with certain... I mean, it's a specific change in culture where Middle Eastern citizens are starting to move into places like France, Denmark, Britain in larger numbers. Although Britain's dealt with people of... I mean, when you conquer half the world, ends up in your country. So, you know.
Yeah.
They've dealt with it a little more, but... You know, freedom of religion expression is a liberal good, but so is equality between men and women.
Yeah, and those two conflict, yeah.
Right? So, I mean, it's hard to predict what comes out on top there. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Here's, I think, sort of
I'm going to keep interrupting you.
That's okay.
It's probably that equality emerges in the religion because equality is a progressive... movement that will always probably win over. So in the end, it doesn't really matter. And if women are equal, it doesn't matter what they want to wear, for instance.
Right, right.
Theoretically. Go ahead.
Okay. So one thing that I think, because you were talking about, you know, what doesn't have rights, you know, what is kind of bleeding edge now.
Yeah.
I think one sort of leading indicator of that is, you know, because obviously there are the things that we just don't talk about. But I think those, you know, that's thinking too far ahead because we're not even talking about them yet.
All right.
Then you got the things like, you know, gay rights where it's already a giant national conversation. So I think that's the 50 years thing is kind of, you know, not soon enough. You know, mm-hmm. That'll happen sooner.
All right.
What I think the stuff we need to be looking at is the stuff where there's a conversation starting to bubble up and then the main sort of reaction of even sort of, you know, people – who are engaged in the issue partially are just like, you know, it comes up, you're like, wow, that's bad. And then you just go about your life as if it doesn't exist.
Example.
Okay, here's one thing that I think is a strong candidate for all this. And basically, I'm not a Peter Singer guy, you know?
No.
I'm not, you know, full, you know... Full equal rights for animals,
right.
Kind of thing.
Okay,
but I feel like any time you think about it, like if you literally give it any thought, the idea that we have animals in giant, disease-ridden, shit-filled death camps,
yeah,
is probably wrong.
It is.
That's definitely just straight up. Yeah, wrong.
That's definitely gonna. The thing about that is that the awareness has to be risen. People don't know about factory farms, really. They don't really know what that stuff is like. I'm not a full animal rights person because I don't think... I think you have to have full capacity to enjoy rights in order to have them to a degree. Obviously, we shouldn't enslave people if they're mentally handicapped just because they may not understand that they're enslaved.
Or babies.
Or babies, right.
Actually, I think we should probably enslave babies,
yeah,
to be honest.
Yeah, they aren't doing much else. But, I believe animals don't have the right not to suffer. I believe the animals have the right not to suffer. So, yeah, factory farms are bad.
Yeah, but I think...
But
when you look at that right now, it's like, you know, most people either don't know about the issue at all, or you know about it, you're just like...
Here's a big conflict
Lord,
for
that's
me.
That's horrible. And then you just kind of shut it out of your mind.
Let's go into the, I'm trying to think, extremely politically sensitive zone here for a moment.
Sure.
And upset a few people.
Okay.
That's what I do. Nobody who's listening is going to not be upset because they don't exist. But here's a conflict I see. If we want to say, for instance, that a lot of the gender roles that we have are stupid, you know, I agree with that. And I think, you know, we should do as much as we can to dissolve them. I obviously think, yeah, hey, there's a difference between men and women. As long as, you know, if what we know about homosexuality is correct and 90% of one is going to want to have sex with the 90% of the other, they're always going to be in conflict because, well, there you go. I mean, yeah.
And I feel like conflict is a strong word.
There's always going to be differences, and that's always going to create conflict. I mean, it's unavoidable. That's not to say that there isn't going to be cooperation and that there will be... I'm not predicting...
I don't know.
I'm not predicting in 50 years that there's going to be a war between men and women.
I'm pretty sure you are. With tanks and guns. I'm pretty sure you're predicting an oncoming gender war.
One-on-one, there's always going to be conflicts between the two genders. They're going to
Okay, so it's not a gender war. It's gender cage fighting?
Right. They're going to look to their left and they're going to see, hey, that person has boobs or a penis or maybe both. I mean, that's a whole different thing.
Okay. You know, Chuck, I just want to say right now, yeah. I'm looking to my left and I did not know that.
All right.
That's, yeah, I support you, Chuck. I support you.
You look to your left and you say, this person looks like me or operates sexually like I do. The person across the way from me doesn't. I'm going to, you know, probably mentally, I mean, it just makes sense.
No, it's in-group, out-group.
Right. It's going to look at the person next to me and say, well, does this make sense to you? And they're going to say yes or no or whatever. There's going to be commentary. And I mean, you know, we should obviously look to resolve that. But I think that there's always going to be a conflict, regardless. That really has nothing to do with it. My point is that if gender issues are properly dissolved, where does gender reassignment come in? To me, it's like doing something wrong, almost. For instance, if you grow up as a girl preferring boys' toys or whatever else, or I mean, if your feeling is, well, I shouldn't have been a girl, what does that mean? Does that purely mean I shouldn't have had a vagina?
I will admit, this is one of the things where it's just, I have no idea how it works, so I mean, I don't
but
know.
It's a nature-nurture thing, and it's and we don't have a lot of, I don't think we have a lot of scientific evidence about one or the other. I know there are people where you can obviously detect hormone imbalances and, you know, that causes psychological imbalances.
Yeah, ultimately the problem with just real questions of nature, nurture, and, you know, scientifically determining, you know, basically what the hell is going on with them is that Skinner boxes are immoral.
Yeah, it's a shame.
You know, maybe in 50 years that's something that will change. Maybe in 50 years we'll all just be laughing.
Remember when we thought Skinner boxes were immoral?
Yeah. Man, now we raise all our children in Skinner boxes.
And it works perfectly. And everyone in society is happy.
Yeah, and science is just advanced.
The children thing is an interesting thing, too. And there are a lot of questions about what the world is going to be like in 50 years. I think there's a big question about where are we trending religiously, you know? There's a weird evangelical movement that kind of cropped up and suddenly it was hot to be Christian and then identification with Christianity shot up and, you know, we live in a country where 90% or some ridiculous number, 80% of people self-identify as Christian. I think it's actually towards 90. But at the same time, there have been multiple bestsellers in the last 10 years that are about atheists and atheism. You know, Dawkins is very popular, you know, Dennett is hot, Letter to a Christian Nation. And,
I like how you're using the word hot here because it makes it seem like it's a real, like, pop culture celebrity phenomenon. Like, you know,
I want to see Daniel Dennett.
Entertainment tonight.
I want to see Daniel Dennett in Tiger Beat. That's all I'm saying. I want a pull-out poster of Daniel Dennett.
In Tiger Beat?
In Tiger Beat, yeah.
Okay, here's my question. Who do you think goes further on Dancing with the Stars? Dawkins or Sam Harris?
Sam Harris.
He's playing.
He's young. He's svelte. He looks fit. Dawkins is a little older. I mean, he's not fat or anything, but, you know, come on.
But just, yeah, older.
Yeah. And he's English, which doesn't bode well for his sense of rhythm.
Wait, is Sam Harris
as long
not,
as I'm being politically incorrect.
Is Sam Harris not English?
He's American.
Oh.
I mean, he has no accent, at least. I've heard him talk. I've never heard him say, I am American, but he has no accent, so. One has to assume. Hey, you know what it'll tell us? The internet.
Okay, yeah. You
hear that furious typing. Da, da, da,
yeah, da, you start looking da, that up, and then we'll da, be able to figure American. Out. Okay, yeah, so he would totally be eligible for American Dancing with the Stars. I don't know. Is that a requirement? Is there a nationality requirement for Dancing with the Stars?
I think there's a shame requirement.
Would he have to show his birth certificate?
I think there's a shame requirement. He's like 42, or Sam Harris is.
Young buck.
That old, no. He's not super old. So, you know, I think he wins. That's just me. Let's see how old Doc is. It's bam. It's my clicking and clacking.
Go, man, go.
He is 68.
Oh, yeah, so he's getting up there.
He is up there.
Yeah, I don't know if his frail Daniel old man Dennett. Hip bones could take it.
Daniel Dennett has already had like a heart attack or something, I think.
Yeah, so let's keep him off Dancing with
the
Stars.
He's 67.
Yeah.
And then who's the fourth of the four horsemen of the atheist apocalypse?
I don't know. Is it Chris Hitchens?
Yeah, it's Hitchens. He's got to be in his 50s.
If there are four horsemen, he is the horseman called Annoyance. Right?
He's the horseman called Drunkard. He's 60, and I said, he would be too drunk.
He's the horseman called Annoying Drunkard, and I'm uncomfortable with most of his other political views.
You know, I can't argue to... his views are at least reasoned, but...
Yeah, I just don't agree.
It's not that I necessarily agree with the, what do you want to call it? Principles that...
Yeah, assumptions.
That guide the reason. But...
I disagree with his axioms, yeah.
Yeah, but he is dead on in a lot of other things, so.
Basically, I would say when it comes to Chris Hitchens, and really this is my opinion about most people when you get down to it. Honestly, I think I could even generalize further and say this is most people's opinion about most people when you get down to it. It's just like, Chris Hitchens, when it comes to the stuff that he and I agree on, he's pretty sharp. But when I don't agree with him on something, he just seems off. He just seems off. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And here's another thing I've actually thought about that's like, I would say less likely than the food thing, but I think has an outside shot of being something that 50 years from now we're looking at horribly is just in terms of resource consumption. Like, here's one thing, for example, just because again, I'm just thinking back to like things where I know it and then I ignore it because it's no fun to know. Like, do you have any friends who... I doubt you read this. I don't read it either. But do you have any friends who, read, eco-green type blogs and share things from them on Google Reader?
Oh, almost definitely. But here's the thing. I don't really read my friends' posts on Google Reader.
Yeah, I read some of them because I just...
Share with us. That way you can alienate some friends.
No, I can't even remember specific because I don't unfriend people. I just scroll through.
You've got the internet in front of
you. I didn't care about this thing.
You can look.
Now remember, I'm busy monitoring this show. I have a job right now. I can't just fuck around on this computer. This computer's doing shit.
Who's posting dumb stuff that I don't want to know about? Somebody is.
Clearly, but when you read any of those things, one thing I've noticed is there's kind of two things you notice. It's one, basically sort of. Are sort of the globalized infrastructure of production and commodities trading is weird and probably bad, and you don't want to think about it. Because it's just like, did you just buy a television? You probably killed some Chinese people. Did you buy some Doritos, You've ruined Guatemala. I don't know.
Yeah,
it's
a fact of life, and it's an unfortunate
one. The problem is even things, and this is the worst part, is what those blogs love doing in my experience of the articles that I've skimmed and read from them.
All right,
is they love sort of digging one step further under something that seems like where you're legitimately trying to do something environmentally good. They love digging the extra step under, and it's like, no, it still sucks.
Yeah.
Which is, it's good to know this, but it's a fucking bummer. It's a fucking bummer.
Yeah, well, I think that the awareness of these things is important, but you just have to, realize you're not going to get by in life without stepping on something else. That shouldn't be your moral imperative, though.
No, but I think you just have to realize going to be an interesting question of basically how. I think once sort of a lot of the mysteriousness gets peeled, like if, and again, it might not happen. Again, you know, I mean, the jungle was made fucking a century ago, and we're still treating meatpackers like shit. But
and it's not that much better. Yeah,
but. You know, I think if, you know, some of this, because right now it's just mysterious. It's just like, there's a food, what's in my supermarket? Okay. But I think when those mechanisms get peeled back, I think there's a pretty decent possibility that just how we consume goods and resources might seem horrible. You know what I mean?
All right.
Like, I think that might tilt towards a different way.
That'd be possible. I don't know. I mean, I have to think about the jungle again and say, I don't know.
Yeah, we're really good at ignoring this stuff. We're really good at ignoring this stuff.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, depends. Depends on a lot of things. We got a lot of, you know, much worse stuff to fix first.
Yeah, the world, it's messed up.
And we're here to fix it. I guess. Well, on that depressing note...
yeah, let's take a break so you can mull over that depression.
You can just cry. All right, guys, just remember. Out. But,
prejudice, know. Still here. The world, you know, animals having a bad time. Resources making people have a bad time. But on the bright side, Duran Duran. Turned on the lights, the TV, and the radio. Still, I can't escape the ghost of you. What has happened to it all? Crazy summer day.
This is Chuck Werner, and you're listening to I'm Trying to Think, a podcast sponsored by the Foundation Institute. You can find them on the web at foundation-institute.org. The Foundation Institute, planning for the future and tomorrow. Okay, the last segment there, Dave, and let me take a moment. Welcome back to I'm Trying to Think, episode 20. The last segment there, Dave, depressing.
Yeah, as it turned out, and, you know, I wasn't thinking fully when I had the topic. It was a good topic. I thought it was interesting. Beat but it me. Turns out when you're looking at, when you're trying to predict the morality of the future, and it requires you to look at what's wrong today, that turns out to be sad.
Who knew? Okay, feed me some good news. Cheer me up here.
Okay. You want some good news?
I need to be cheered up.
I've been
up.
Looking around here lately. I'll hit you with some fantastic news.
All right. This better be good.
Okay. Steven Tyler, which is a bad start, I'll admit. It's a bad start.
Come on. Did he die?
Quit Aerosmith.
That is just as good. Actually, that's better.
No, I think it'd be better if he died.
No, because if he dies, you got all this retrospective shit, and I have to listen to his music for like 3 months while they're like, Steven Tyler died here. Listen to fucking shitty late Aerosmith about... And then that shit. Like a theme song for Armageddon or some crap.
That he wrote with Dionne Warwick, which I think is important to note.
What a...
I mean, yeah, that's real rock and roll Dionne Warwick.
Aerosmith, I do not know how people like think they are a good band. They are a band with like 5 songs that I like.
Yeah, I mean,
which is impressive.
They did make some good songs.
Here's the problem: 25 songs to 30 songs that I don't like played constantly on the radio.
Yeah, basically, they're a band where it's like 5 good songs. You know, that's an accomplishment compared to most bands. That shouldn't make you like 150 million album seller. That you know is hard to get away from, and you know you see Steven Tyler's ghoulish face in popular culture.
So, 2 things. First of all, they're from Boston.
I know.
So, go to hell.
I know.
Second of all...
Hey, I didn't go around listening to them. And also, you like Boston. So
I do
shut
like
up.
Boston. But
you like the cars.
I'm gonna take a ride. Anyways.
You really like the cars.
I do. I love the cars.
So I'm just saying, still, lay off the city.
Aerosmith.
Lay off the city.
Number two, I have long thought that they are being kept alive by either some sort of necromancer or a voodoo ritual. Or a combination.
I mean, I haven't paid that much attention to most of them, but I think most of them look like normal older guys, except Steven Tyler, who, again, just has a grotesque ghoul face.
Yeah. I think... I have to think Living on the Edge was the beginning of the end. That song's not very good. And then after that, you got Crying, Amazing, Crazy... which are the same song.
Yeah.
And then I Don't Want to Miss a Thing is pretty damn close to the same song. And Jaded is like the same song. It's terrible. It's a bad song. And they've been doing it for 16 years.
Decade and a half.
16 years, yeah. And here you go from the beginning. Like, here are some good songs early on, okay? Sweet Emotion.
Sweet Emotion's pretty good.
Dream On. I like that song. It's not the best song ever, but it's a good song. Walk This Way, I'm going to be honest, not a great,
not a huge fan,
but it's not a terrible song. Back in the Saddle is mostly Steven Tyler screaming, but it is fun to imitate.
No, honestly, I got to say, Sweet Emotion,
yeah.
I'm not going to lie, what I remember that song for more than the actual song is more its inclusion on what, for a brief period of 2 weeks in late, like maybe junior, senior year of high school.
Yeah.
Was the funniest videotape I've ever seen.
All right.
So, basically, one of my friends was a big bass player.
He was. He
probably still is. I don't know.
Okay. Like, and big as in his stature, or big as in...
No, no, as in he enjoyed to play it much.
A large fan of the bass.
Yeah.
Large as in his stature, or...
No, no.
Okay.
Not a big guy stature.
So you're saying he's a great fan of the bass.
Sure.
Great as
fuck
in his
stature. Fuck you. Fuck you. Okay. Anyhow... He had this videotape, which was, I don't remember the title, it was something, you know, asinine, like, you know, 50 great bass riffs, learn how to play.
Okay. And
basically, what was great about it was, the guy who's teaching you these bass riffs was kind of like, he had this big beard and a cowboy hat, but...
So you're saying he was a large bass teacher?
No, actually, he was kind of a... trim. He was a pretty trim guy, but he had a beard. He had a cowboy hat. But the thing is, he didn't have like a beard and cowboy. Because I know when I said beard and cowboy hat, I think why you thought he was a fat guy
is because I think of Hank Williams Jr.
Yeah, I was going to say Charlie Daniels, but
yeah,
similar.
Either
yeah.
one. Yeah, Charlie Daniels. Though, you know, if you look at like old Charlie Daniels albums where he's on the cover, you're like, oh, he's a spelt guy. Yeah, and then you look at him like 2000.
Time makes fools of us all.
And he's like. He's a balloon man.
And by fools, in this case, I mean fatties.
Fatty. Good.
But anyhow. But the funny thing is, it also wasn't like those guys in that those are guys who look like, okay, you know, it's a country guy with a beard and a cowboy hat. And, you know, he's kind of honky-tonky. You know, it's a look that makes sense. Like, this guy didn't seem country so much as just, like, a goofy guy who was wearing a hat for some reason.
All right.
You know?
Do you know that we have a local law firm where the... It's like an injury law firm where the guy advertises in, and he's wearing like a suit and a...
And a cowboy hat?
It's not quite a cowboy hat. It's like a felt hat.
You know, I don't know. So I'll admit, if he's not Edgar Snyder, it's not a local lawyer I'm aware of.
Well, it's just that you look at him and you're like, why would I use you as a lawyer? You're wearing a goofy hat.
And Edgar Snyder's right there.
Edgar Snyder is right there.
But anyhow, basically, and just this guy, just his presence was just... incredibly goofy. And one of the things he would teach you to play was the Sweet Emotion.
All right.
God, I wish the story had a punchline now that I've gotten this far in it. Fuck.
Okay, honestly, so back to Aerosmith.
The punchline of this story is I frantically scour YouTube and cross my fingers and hope I can find this and hope it's actually still funny. I think it's funny.
The punchline here is that sometimes things in your brain are like, oh, this is so funny. Then you say them out loud and you make an ass of yourself.
Yeah.
And Dave, I'm not going to...
Pretty much.
I'm not here to insult you. This has happened to me far more than it's ever happened to you.
I can believe that. So, I can believe that. Don't get me wrong. It's happened a lot to me, but I can still believe that.
The Aerosmith songs I like. All right, let's go. Big 10 Inch. Great song. Nice little blues rock song. Great, great little song. And then I'm going to go with Sweet Emotion. Let's go with, Ragdoll. Okay, I'm going to go with Ragdoll. I like Ragdoll. And then I'll go with Dream On. And I think that might be where I have to get, end it. And then Love in an Elevator, maybe. I don't know.
No, that's kind of dumb. Yeah, well, Janie's Got a Gun is okay. Janie's Got a Gun is okay.
I never understood if Janie was a boy or a girl, so I was kind of confused.
It's a lady. It's a lady.
I guess that makes sense since the lyric is, what did her daddy do?
Yeah, in retrospect, now that I kind of process what you just said a little more, the fuck is wrong with you? How did you... That's pretty explicit.
I'm going to be honest with you.
It's a lady's name and a lady pronoun.
Don't really listen closely enough to Aerosmith's lyrics to connect one and two. The good lyrics for Aerosmith are all in Big 10 Inch.
Okay, so this is one of the things where you're saying good lyrics, you mostly mean dick jokes. Is your favorite AC/DC song Big Balls?
No.
Okay, good. Is it TNT? It should be. That's the best.
I like how you framed that sentence. That was good. Is it TNT? It should be. Now, I'm going to go with Back in Black.
Oh, yeah, that's fair. That's hard to knock. I'm going to put on my AC/DC snob hat, which is the most hilarious conceptual thing to exist. And I'm just going to say, that's a little bit of a conventional choice, which is why I like TNT. But that's fair. It rocks. I can't gainsay that.
It's, you know... it's the classic of, you know, Brian Johnson comes to the band. In my eyes, he enhances the band. I think AC/DC is AC/DC with Brian Johnson.
I like Bon Scott a little better. I like Bon Scott a little better.
Well, you can do that, but I'm going to tell you.
I mean, ultimately, you win because your guy's alive. My guy's dead. So ultimately, in a fight, win.
Yeah. Brian Johnson beats Bon Scott to a pulp, almost literally. I do. I think Brian Johnson is the essence of what is AC/DC. That screaming high pitch. Libby, libby, libby. Real lyrics.
But. No, also that sounded, in so much as that sounded like a song at all,
yeah,
that mostly sounded like Aerosmith's Dude Looks Like a Lady.
No.
Which is a terrible song.
Yeah, it's not. That's not Dude Looks Like. It's libby, libby, libby.
You're doing Dude Looks Like a Lady.
You're doing Dude Looks Like a Lady with Brian Johnson singing it. I'm doing Libby Lobby Labby, which is my
completely different song.
It's my custom AC/DC song.
Okay.
And I actually think what it is it's just stuck in my brain, and it's part of Who Made Who.
All it's right, like, then.
Who made who? Yeah.
Okay, so Steven Tyler gone from Aerosmith. That's great. Unfortunately, bad news is because Joe Perry, I think, sees his grim future of back, like, basically it's the late 70s, early 80s again, making terrible solo albums and doing coke. So what he has said is that Aerosmith, with without Steve Tyler, will continue on.
Well, who's responsible for the last, 16 years of Aerosmith, where they're just all shitty?
I feel like it's a collective decision where to just rest on their laurels and get money and creepily put, Steven Tyler's daughter in videos.
Yeah, but Liv Tyler is hot.
Yeah, but still.
I would totally...
If she was in another old band's videos, Tyler, I'd be like, okay, fine.
Here's the thing about reality. If Liv Tyler had come to me when I was, 18, which is, 12 years ago, as Aerosmith starts to get shitty, I would have been like, Liv Tyler, yeah, you're hot, let's go out. Let us kiss with tongue.
That's magnanimous of you.
7 years
Real
later.
Real magnanimous. That's
7 years later, I would have said, I'm sorry, your dad is Steven Tyler. If we ever met, I would have to destroy him. But let us kiss with tongue, and then you must go on your way.
Again, that's very magnanimous of you.
Yeah.
Real generous.
Then she was an elf. And then again, it's like, well, as a favor to you, I will not destroy your father. Let us kiss with tongue.
You're a fucking saint is what you are. A fucking saint.
I try to be moral. I mean, that's the least a person can do.
So here's my question to you, though. Okay, so if they're going to try and keep, you know, they're going to, speaking of shitty Aerosmith songs, just shitty, hateful Aerosmith songs that almost made me want to throw away a video game I otherwise like. I'm just going to say, they want to keep that Aerosmith train a-rolling.
Which video game is that? Oh, Rock Band.
Oh, Train Kept a-Rolling is...
Hey, man, don't even start with me. There are two Bon Jovi songs. And as I, despite being promised that I could turn songs off in Rock Band 2, I could not find a way to do it.
Oh, but I'd say Train Kept a-Rolling worse than either of the Bon Jovi songs.
No, you're wrong. Bon Jovi is worse than Aerosmith.
Okay, but we're kind of...
That's just objective truth.
Oh, they're
Bon Jovi
band.
Is the worst, most popular band ever.
Oh, they're terrible, but it's...
I mean,
at least it's...
I would listen to the Backstreet Boys.
Their two best horrible songs.
I would listen to New Kids... I would listen to Celine Dion before I would listen to Bon Jovi.
Okay, but swinging back to the main
point.
Yeah, got it. Swinging back to my main point.
Mariah Carey. I would listen to Mariah Carey.
Swinging back...
Before I listen to Bon Jovi.
To my main point.
Yeah.
So Joe Perry wants to keep that whole shit fest going. So who do you think they bring in? Who's their new, who's the new vocalist? Who's your recasting
Aerosmith?
So you have
to find somebody who looks like a
corpse.
They have to look like a corpse and they have to sing in a screaming, high-pitched, somewhat nasally voice.
I'm not sure if they have to, because it could go...
Celine Dion.
I know, cause that could work. Because they could just go in the direction, like... Here's another person I'm thinking. Because we know he likes stepping into bands. Todd Rundgren.
Todd Rundgren. He might actually make Aerosmith listenable, though.
Hey, it worked for the new Cars.
I don't know that it worked, but it happened.
It allowed them to go on a tour and continue making money to feed... I don't know, all the rest of the Cars.
I have an idea.
And even you don't know their names, do you?
All right. So, has to look corpse-like and scream.
Yeah.
Resurrected corpse of Bon Scott.
Oh. Huh.
I see how problems just work themselves out, Dave.
Yeah. I mean, there's a little trickiness with the metaphysical possibility of resurrection.
I don't see any trickiness there whatsoever.
Man, for the last two episodes, you've been all like, I'm Chuck. I'm a big, fancy skeptic. Look at my big, skeptical mind.
I'm very
skeptical. Now you're
skeptical.
All like, I believe in the resurrection of Bon Scott. Pick a side. Pick a side,
Morgan. I'm very skeptical, but it's been shown to me through scientific processes that Bon Scott can be resurrected.
Oh, really?
It just turns out. It's one of those things.
Like, is there a published paper?
No, they're publishing that.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Forward
it's
me that
be
link.
It's going to be in the next issue of Necromantic Science Monthly.
Oh, wonderful.
That's a great magazine.
Okay, I stand corrected.
Yeah.
Although I'm glad I challenged you, because that forced you to back that up.
Oh, I have nothing if not capable and willing to back up my beliefs in the resurrection of Bon Scott and his joining of Aerosmith.
On the third day?
Yeah.
Actually,
I would listen to Bon Scott.
Probably not the third day. It's been a while.
I would listen to Bon Scott.
It's been
Scott.
Like 70, not 70 years. I don't understand time.
I would listen to Bon Scott singing crazy, though. And crying. And crazy and cry-azy.
Cremazin.
Because that's all the songs. Last 16 years, Aerosmith. Sorry.
Okay, wait, hold on. Yeah. Thought. Aerosmith advertising for Crazins.
Crazins. Craisins.
Makes sense.
Cranberry raisins. Yeah. That's Steven Tyler's career now. He's not going to go broke.
Yeah,
that craisin money will be rolling in.
And if he's doing voiceover work for commercials, you don't have to see his face.
He should do voiceover work for cartoons. He should have a cartoon called Crazy Crying.
Cremason?
I don't know. It would be about his... he'd be like, you know, the vampire hunter, like Angel, kind of. Except he'd be like the voodoo mummy fighter.
Do you think voodoo mummies are the new vampire? Like, is this is this a train we should get on in advance?
Yeah, forget about Twilight. It's going to be, I don't know.
Voodoo mummies?
Voodoo mummies. Do they have like a, do they need to have like some sort of dramatic emo kind of thing about them? Like probably. Vampires are torn between their desire to, I don't know, love people and eat them, I guess. So.
Well, mummies are torn between their desire. Okay, one.
Voodoo mummies.
Yeah, voodoo mummies, okay. They're torn between their desires to, you know, well, you got to start with love because, you know, that's love how you're important. Getting the tweens.
That's how you get the tweens, that's the how girls, you get the tweens. Yeah.
They're torn between their desires to love.
And.
No, oh. A couple things. Here's a desire to love.
Okay.
They can't reveal their face because it's all fucked up under bandages.
So, no, you know, Steven Tyler's no, revealing all his you're face
seeing,
left and right.
So all you're seeing is bandages, maybe a little hawk, emo hawk, kind of yeah. popped out over the bandage. Over, yeah. And three, they're torn between their love and the dark Loa, which drive them.
See, here's the thing I was Loa. Thinking. Instead, we could go for... Loa is good. I like the word and the concept. But...
You can have, like, a sexy teen Baron Saturday.
I was thinking... That's just try, good. Let's try to nail the tween girls and the tween boys. I mean, not
Man,
literally.
Man, there's nothing I like about that sentence, Chuck.
Not literally, because that's still illegal in our backwards morality. In 50 years, let me tell you. Anyways. The man, we nailed them both with voodoo mummies that are torn between their love and their love of blowing shit up.
So it's voodoo mummy explosions.
It's emo voodoo mummy demolitionists.
Ooh.
Yeah.
And I'm going to say franchise name. I'm just going to buzz. I'm not sure if this works because it's voodoo mummies, not Egyptian mummies.
Right.
Is Scarab a franchise name?
Yeah, but we can combine it with voodoo. We can be like Rum Scarab.
Rum Scarab. Isn't that what the Amish do like for 2 years when they're 16 to decide if they want to live?
It's not coincidence.
If they want to live in the real world, the Amish world, or the world of voodoo mummies.
And you know what they call an Amish kid out on his... Rum Scarab.
No.
A voodoo mummy.
Voodoo mummy? Oh.
See, it all it's a circle of life.
Oh.
And that's what we got to tap into to make the big cash.
Circle of life.
Everybody's into vampires, the next big thing. Emo so voodoo
we're,
mummy.
We're betting on voodoo mummies?
Emo voodoo mummy demolitionists.
Okay. Rum Scarab?
Rum Scarab. It's the first novel. It's going to be about a voodoo mummy named Arthur. Arthur the Voodoo Mummy. And he's in love with a girl named Evelyn.
Evelyn seems... I'm not sold on Evelyn. Evangeline.
Evangeline. And they are torn by... Croc-a-wolves.
Okay, and also...
That's like a werewolf. But it turns into a wolfman, but
crocodile,
then during the day
it's
a crocodile.
Okay, and also what we have to do is, because remember, Twilight...
They have crocodiles
also,
or alligators. It's
part
alligators.
Of Twilight that's big is
I
it's
said
sort
crocodile,
of,
but it's alligators yeah, in yeah. New Orleans.
But it's weird sort well, of I mean, semi-Mormon sexual, but not quite Mormon sexual morality.
Okay.
So we got to think, so in the same way that, you know,
oh,
vampires...
We're
no,
going forward with morality.
No,
the voodoo mummy and the girl, they get at it all the time. They
okay.
are banging uglies, or whatever it is the kids say today.
Well, it's a voodoo mummy, so it's probably uglies.
There's some ugly in it, definitely.
Okay, so we're going... Because I was thinking we might want to try and look forward in the same way that, you know, voodoo mummy is the new vampire. Maybe it was going to have morality that was sort of, but not quite Jehovah's Witnesses.
So, yeah, that would be fine, except I don't really understand the morality or anything of Jehovah's Witnesses.
I don't know. I guess
it's like no fun is their first is like the first commandment there, right?
Yes, and give out copies of the Watchtower.
Yeah, that's. I don't think that's going to be an exciting book. You know, also it's voodoo. I don't know if that's going to go over too well with the Christian audiences. Anyways, we're kind of trying to get kids.
Okay,
to
so
rebel.
We're going straight
See,
away from that. So just voodoo
right.
mummies, bumping uglies.
See, here's
the
thing.
The
right now, we got these kids, and they're reading these vampire novels, and the mom's like. Oh, I don't know about these vampire novels. And then the vampire novelists are like, chill, baby. They ain't banging in this. It's all virginity.
Although I do think
all
they bang.
All the time.
I'm not a Twilight expert, but I think they bang eventually.
Well, that just breaks all the rules.
It's a groundbreaking series, Chuck. You don't make that
have
kind
to go
of fat
further.
Vampire cash.
We're
going
to have to go further. I think Evangeline...
No,
might have to be renamed into
Evangelo.
Evangelo.
Yep. Wow, wow. Okay, so book one book one sets the setting. It's Rum Scarab.
Yeah, we're cashing in on the gay marriage rage that's going on now. Okay. Everybody loves gay marriage.
And then book two, I've just got a title
except
right now.
53% of the people in Maine who vote.
Yeah, but I mean, forget them.
Yeah, we're 47%. We'll take them.
Yeah, that's enough of an audience. But okay, so book one, Rum Scarab, sets the tone, sets the setting, right. Sets up our rules.
Uh-huh.
Book two, Voodoo Mummy Butt Blastin'.
Oh, yeah, I think that's like book seven.
No, now you're just thinking like Twilight Lady, you know, in that, you know, you string it along for a while, then they bang in book four, right?
Yeah, but
I'm just saying book two, Voodoo Mummy Butt Blastin'.
But how
right
do we,
off,
then what do we do in book seven?
More?
That doesn't work. Nobody wants to read that.
I don't know. I think they do.
I don't know. Book two. This is what I'm thinking for the name.
Mm-hmm.
Saturday Bandages. So you get Saturday, like, that's Aloha, and then the bandage. No, you don't like that one?
I don't know. I'm mostly just attached to Voodoo Mummy Butt. Like, I'm not sure if you got this, but let me clarify. That's not just a suggestion for subject matter. I think that's book two's title.
Voodoo Mummy Butt Blasting. Can we integrate Bon Scott back into this? So it could be Bon Scott's Voodoo Mummy Butt Blasting.
I think he's going to be busy because he's leading Aerosmith.
Also, what the hell kind of name is Bon? What? That's not a name. Do we have Steven Tyler signed on for this then, since he's not doing anything? Or is he going to be too busy?
He's going to be too busy raking in the Crazen cash. I think, no, because remember, you're thinking wrong. What we do is...
I'm thinking wrong.
And let me explain, because I mean, look at this Twilight thing, you know, that Robert Hoosie Watsum's, the lady who was good in Adventureland and is also apparently the chicken Twilight, like, our franchise isn't going to need stock to pull in stars. We create stars, you know? We can just get any damn actors we want, and then they will become the most famous people in the world when they star in Rum Scarab.
Let's,
and then Voodoo Mummy Butt Blastin'.
Let's wrap up this segment, if we can.
That's probably a good idea. This. If we're wrapping it up, we're probably going to want to wrap up this entire shebang, because that's about the time we're
shebang.
At.
Shebang. All right, let's wrap it up like this. I don't want to miss a thing, the Aerosmith song.
Yeah.
Simon Cowell... apparently, calls it one of the great songs of all time.
Well, he's kind of an ass.
So there you go. Thank you for listening to episode 20 of I'm Trying to Think, which, I don't know, I don't think the title can be Voodoo Mummy Butt Blast, and I just don't think so.
You're going to have to fight me hard in the next 5 days, then.
I don't like that you use the word hard there, honestly. So,
Yeah, no one wanted to hear that.
All right. So, thank you for tuning in once again. And, hey, can we get those emails coming? What's going on? contact@imtryingtothink.com. Once again, thank you. And we leave you with Duran Duran, The Reflex.
People in China are dying, He-Man, and it's your fault!